21st Century Entrepreneurship with Martin Piskarik.
Well, Martin, thanks for having me today. My name is Gerardo Piccolo, CEO and co-founder, and something that I like to talk to anyone and everyone about is this concept of let's be better every day. It's an invitation to wake up the next morning and ask, how can I be better? And part of our company, that's our strap line, tagline, rallying cry, whatever you call it, that's what we as our company lives by. And that's what I always encourage everybody else, like wake up the next day and ask, how can I be better in every category of your life? And if you will, that's just something, it's a driving force that gets me up in the morning. So I'm content as a human, but I'm never fully satisfied. And I feel like there's probably a lot of people that listen that they're also content with their life, but they're not fully satisfied. So it's a challenge. It's this idea of how can I be better every day? We started the business, 20 years ago. I'm 43 now. When I first started it, I was set to be one of the youngest architects in America. And I loved the idea of physical architecture. And, when you show up to a building, it has a purpose. People have to, move through this building. But I actually got really excited and gravitated towards the virtual architecture. So this concept of like navigating people through the internet, right? And we all have needs, right? We're all on our phones, we're in social media, we're on websites, and all day long we're finding things online. And when we started the company, we thought, let us be the architects of the internet. Let us create digital experiences for people to navigate, to walk through. And then of course, as our company grew, and now we have 3 offices, across the world, and we've got about 85 employees. As we've grown, we've realized we don't just get to build the internet. We have to really focus on performance marketing and attracting people to these websites and extending people's brands so that their customers can experience them and fulfill on that promise of what that brand is. That's kind of how we started it. Like any entrepreneur, you're on this journey and you're trying to fill a demand that's out in the world, right? You have this trade, and we all kind of start out as tradespeople. And then you realize, wow, people want to buy this stuff that we've created. And so, I can remember this one time, it was on a Friday, we're 5 years into business. And this was a hard moment in any entrepreneurial journey. My wife, who's also my business partner, she's a copywriter, and so we're in the trenches. We're working 80-hour work weeks, and it was a Friday, and it was in Carson City, the small town that I live in, and it's what they call the tree lighting ceremony. And here in the United States, Santa Claus comes down the main drag, and they turn on all the Christmas lights, and it's a big celebratory thing. The whole community comes together. And we're at this point where we're trying to launch a project at 5 o'clock at night on a Friday, which I'm going to recommend anybody do not do that. Don't launch a project at 5 o'clock at night on a Friday. It's silly. But my wife, she shows up and she's got our kids with us. And she says, come on, let's go to this tree lighting ceremony. And I looked at her and I said, I can't go, honey. We're missing this deadline. And her eyes welled up. She started to cry a little bit. She just turned around, grabbed the kids and walked out. And then there I am, I'm stuck with my heart, in my hands, just holding my heart, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I'm choosing, work over my family. And I know so many people that are entrepreneurs or leaders, you do this. Sometimes you choose, work over family. And so I just sat there quiet, and my team turned around their chairs and they said, Jared, get the hell out of here. We've got this. We'll take care of the launch. Don't worry. So I ran across the street. I got to meet up with my family just in time. We're both crying. We're in tears. The kids don't know what's going on. They're just like, oh, dad's here, And then right then Santa Claus comes down the street and lights go on, boom, boom, boom. The tree lights go on. And I made this event But what it was really, and this was such a hard moment. And ever since then, I got bracelets on my hand. One of them says family first. And it was this moment to say, you know what? I can't just put the business first all the time. That I have, the family is just as equally important. And if I'm not healthy at home in my family, then I can't be a good business leader. And this was the moment that I realized I need to evolve from a tradesperson to a business person. And it was this concept of delegation that not a lot of us know about when you first start a business. You think that I'm good at it. I can do it better than anybody else, and I can do it faster than anybody else. So I should just do it myself. But this moment, I created this chart, and on the y-axis, it was like team readiness. And on the x-axis, it was importance of task. And if the team's readiness is really high and the importance of task is low, well, then they can do it on their own and they don't need my help. And this was a really defining moment, because before that, it was 80-hour work weeks and it was struggle and, you know, barely paying the bills sometimes and just giving the business everything we had. And this was a really defining moment that I think set our path to becoming a business entrepreneur. Now that we're sort of in our business, now we're, you know, we're 7-8 years into the business journey, and you know, we're 20 years now into our full journey, but we realized, okay, that no longer I'm going to be a bottleneck, right? I can grow beyond my own capacity by trusting people. And I remember we had one advisor tell us, like, you know, you need to hire smarter people than you. And that's such a like vulnerable situation, because you're like, wow, why would I do that? And if they're smarter than me, they can do the job better than me. But not everybody wants to be a CEO or wants to be an entrepreneur and think about the business 24 hours a day or on the weekends and stuff. And so we started doing that. We started looking for the smartest people that we could possibly find. We started looking for people that had the most amount of passion. And then we started bringing that with us when we met with clients. And we started working in the Bay Area, the Silicon Valley, during the dot-com, you know, just past the dot-com boom. Everybody now is ready to like build better digital experiences. This was the only kind of social media out there was MySpace at the time, and then Facebook, and then Google. And so then we started really becoming innovative with our clients. We would take this team and we call it ourselves the think tank, and we would bring ourselves, you know, to clients. We put ourselves on location and we would carve out conference rooms for 2 or 3 days and ask the clients to bring their biggest problems to us. And we would solve it with all those people just rolling up our sleeves and drinking coffee. And this is the time too, we would have Red Bull at midnight and, you know, and Taco Bell, just to keep the passion and the juices flowing and stuff. But we started building some really, truly amazing experiences digitally, but it's because of the people we brought together. And so we've always been a culture that has subscribed to innovation and bring your whole selves to work. And, you know, make sure that, you know, it feels safe for you to come to work, like mentally safe. So you can bring up stupid ideas, because they're not stupid. They're just ideas, you know? And so I feel like all of these things have helped contribute to us staying very relevant. And now, you know, now we're 20 years in and now we're being faced with AI, and how are we adopting that? And how are we taking these smart people and ingesting the AI and bringing those same things, going to our clients and brainstorming with them on what we could do that hasn't been thought of before. So, but yeah, it's been quite a big journey, but I'll tell you that the biggest factor for anyone out there listening is make sure you hire and bring the right people on board. I recall this one moment in time, as you know, as any company starts to scale and really grow, you really, a lot of times you grow because you say yes to everything, right? It's just like, yeah, of course we do that. And yes, we do that. Oh, we offer that service. And I found that where we kind of struggled, you know, as a company, was that we didn't really have our mission and vision fully defined, right? I mean, it was sort of, I'd say that we chased money, but we definitely chased opportunities that that seemed close to the fringe of the stuff we would do. And I think a lot of people fall into this trap of like not having a really strong vision and mission and then chasing things. And so there was this one particular instance where I was invited to work with a really, really large brand agency. They happened to work in the cigarette industry. And when I took the meeting, I showed up and they were ready to give us like $1 million project. And of course, as an entrepreneur, you're like, this is going to solve so many payroll issues, so much headache, everything else. So I took it back to the team. I said, okay, we've got this really amazing opportunity, you know, da, da, da. And right away it was like crickets. Like nobody wanted to work on the project. Like there were, it was literally like silence in the room. And I said, well, do we not want to go after this? And one of the individuals said, no, my father passed away from smoking cigarettes. I can't work on this. I have a conflict of interest. And I thought, oh my gosh. And then next thing you know, it became like a coup and everyone in the room was like, yeah, we can't work on this. And I thought, you know, you're right. If we can't talk about this and we can't put it on our website and we're only doing it for money, then why are we doing it? And it's because we didn't have our vision and mission really hardened. And, you know, and our mission today is about valuable, personalized experiences using our services of creative, digital, and performance. And so we had to say no to this because it didn't align to our core vision and mission. And then, of course, you know, you tell this story and then next thing you know, opportunities show up that they say, you know, I'm so glad you said no to that because actually there's a California anti-tobacco program that I'd like you to work on. And I said, wow, of course. So, you know, instead of $1 million project, it was a $600,000 project, but we had that client for 3 years. And so but it was a struggle because I thought, how am I going to, if I have to turn this down, $1 million project to turn down, you know, that's like, I don't know what payroll is going to look like. And that might hurt us in the long term. So I was thinking of a short-term win, not a long-term win. And I think a lot of companies do that. And ever since now, and this was like 8 years ago, ever since we've really honed our vision and mission, every project we take, every client we work with, every employee or team member that comes on board, and even any partnership that we created with co-branding, all of them have to fit into our vision and mission in some way or the other. And this has allowed us to accelerate our growth. We just won, best in business by Inc. Magazine for the advertising industry. And it was because they see how focused we are on our, you know, mission and vision of, you know, valuable personalized experiences using our services of creative, digital, and performance. And then our team members inside that vision are carrying forward the meaningful connections because we have the right partners and stuff. And so I think there's probably a lot of entrepreneurs or leaders that can chase a shiny object or, you know, chase this thing because it's money. But if it doesn't align to your core vision and mission, you know, you're ultimately it's a short-term win for a long-term loss. And then you won't see these sort of catalytic events that can come off of it, like these big awards that we've won recently and such. Like all entrepreneurs, when you start your company, you think about the name, right? What is your name going to be? And we decided to create the name Noble Studios. And we knew that we were going into, you know, this world that was going to change 30% of the time every year, like this huge learning curve. And they knew that we didn't know 10 years from now where we were going to be at. But if we had a core value, right, noble as a core value, that we would always do the right thing. We would always ask ourselves, well, what's the noble thing to do? And what we found about 10 years ago, we felt like we weren't totally connected with the community, right? We were sitting on board of advisory groups. We'd go to networking events, but we weren't really contributing back to the community. And so a cultural thing we decided to do, we thought, well, let's go and up here, we live in the Sierras. And so we have lots of big mountains and they have what they call trail cleanup. So you can come and clean up trails for mountain bikers or hikers. So we decided, well, let's do an event with our team members and we'll go clean trails. And, you know, you can imagine we're all digital nomads. We're, you know, we don't work outside very much. And so we didn't make good progress on this trail. It was like, I think we got like a quarter mile of work done in 2 days. And then we asked ourselves, how can we be better, right? What could we do with the skills that we have and the brand that we have to give back to the community. And one of my number one recommended advices for anyone listening is that the best way to give back to the community is bring what you are an expert at into the community, right? Don't do stuff that you're not good at, because you're only going to be able to move the needle so much. And so we thought, and this is Season, my wife and co-founder, she said, I want to create a philanthropic program. I want to call it Noble Deeds. And I want to donate 1% of all of our hours, which is effectively our profit, right? And so it follows the Patagonia model. We're going to donate 1% of our profits in the form of community service for nonprofit organizations. So, and what's great about this is that if you think about nonprofits, they all are such good like organizations, but they are missing telling their story. They don't know how to, they don't look professional. They're usually volunteer boards. They don't have a lot of money, right? And so, but they do such good stuff for the world and the community. And so we thought, well, what if we could come in and we can rebrand them? We can give them the tools and the assets. We can give them new websites. We can give them new marketing. We can give them new campaigns and really give them the voice that they've been missing this entire time. And now I'm proud to say that we've been celebrating after 11 years. We've been donating, you know, we've donated over $1.5 million worth of free services, AKA profitability, into our local community, helping nonprofits tell their story, get their message out there. And I'll tell you, and I mean this, we've literally worked for a crisis call center for people that call in when they're thinking about doing suicide. And we've literally saved lives with the numbers that they've showed us just from the work that we've done, the professionalism that we've given them and stuff. And that is something that you just, it'll allow you to sleep better at night. And again, I challenge and I encourage every business to find their way of communicating in the community, you know, and donating their services or their time or their expertise, because it is something at the end of the day, maybe Noble Studios won't be here 20 years, 30 years from now, but we'll always remember the impact that we left in the community and the good that we did. It's easy at the beginning of the day to chase those yeses and those big brands if you have access to them. What we found though over time was working in a very specific industry, travel and tourism. And what you think about travel and tourism, the product, the asset that they sell is really an experience and a memory that you get to take away. And we just fell in love with working in this industry. It is it's something that everyone can relate with. If I can ask you, was the last trip that you took? I want those that are listening, what was the last trip you took and what was the best part of that trip? Maybe it was the food, maybe it was the music, maybe it was the friend you went with or the family member you went with. And this is what we love about the idea of working in the travel and tourism space, is that we get to flatten the world. We get to bring people to these locations and they get to have experiences like all other people want to have. Now, what's happening though, in the travel and tourism space, is that travel is sexy right now. And if you think about with Instagram and selfies and all the time, right, this has like caused a huge boom. It's one of the largest economies in the world. But the challenge is that we're dealing with lots of problems that it's created. We're created over tourism, you know, a big carbon footprint that's happening now. So we, as good as experts in the travel and tourism space, we're leading a new sort of mission. And it's around stewardship and it's around sustainability. So we're really focusing on educating visitors before they come into these markets or to these locations. We're educating them about how to act like a local, right? How are you not going to these overcrowded touristy areas, but instead you're visiting these tier twos or tier three cities to sort of balance out visitation. How are you getting there? Are you taking a very expensive fast jet? Are you driving a car that maybe you can stop? Are you taking public transportation to lower your carbon footprint? Are you booking at locations that support the environment, hotels that don't have plastic or that do recycle. And so it's a really interesting time right now because travel demand is through the roof, but it's our job as marketers to make sure that we are educating visitors so that they leave the place just as healthy and happy. And other people 10 years from now, 20 years from now can experience these same locations or these same experiences because they're there and they're protected, and whether that's coral reefs or beaches or forests or trails or whatever the case is. So it's an exciting time in the travel and tourism space. And we are considered experts in this space. We're invited all the time to speak at conferences, you know, to do podcasting, to write white papers, to do studies and research papers, because it is something that we're very passionate about. We want to be able to share the world with everybody else that has been able to experience before us. A lot of times people come to us and say, well, what's next? What are you going to do? Are you going to sell your company? Are you going to, and you know what? We're not. And in fact, Season and I and BC, we asked ourselves a hard question. What if you could never leave the company that you're with today? And we said, well, that's a hard thought. You know, like we said, okay, well, what do we do? So we took a whiteboard and we said, well, we would change this and we would change that and we would change this. And so now we think of this as our forever company. And what that means is we want to grow. We're interested in doing some acquisitions. We currently are in the United States. We have an office in the United Kingdom. We're talking about opening an office maybe in Singapore or New Zealand. Our intent is to have a 24-hour agency that is serving people, clients, partners, you know, you name it. And we want to continue to grow because we feel like the vision and mission that we currently have, not a lot of other agencies have. And we have since then weathered the storm, right? We've gone through a pandemic. We've gone through recessions. We've gone through the Great Resignation. We've gone through working as a remote environment. And we still are winning awards, as we just won 2024 best places to work at Ad Age, right? A very recognizable brand. But we did that only because we are so true to our vision and mission, and our team is so true to it. So yeah, you look up us in 5 years from now, I'm hoping we're 3-4 times the size. We're in a 24-hour time zone, and we're just serving the world the best we can as servant leaders. If any of this sounds interesting, if you've been listening and you're like, I like this, I want to talk more, I want to become a client, I just want to learn more, go to our website. Go to noblestudios.com. That's NOBLESTUDIOS.com. Take a look at our case studies. Take a look at the services we offer. Shoot us an email. Let's get on a call. Or you can even find me on LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. So go to find me on LinkedIn, Jared Lopiccolo. That's JarrodLopiccolo. Shoot me a direct message. Let's get together. The only thing I ask is don't sell me shit on the first time. Just reach out to me and let's talk. Let's talk. I'm sure there's some advice you have to give me. There's just maybe some trading of, you know, war runes or battles or whatever, but love to have conversations. So let's just reach out and get connected.
21st Century Entrepreneurship with Martin Piskarik.
Imagine a space where triumphs, trials, and tales of entrepreneurship come alive. Welcome to the 21st Century Entrepreneurship Podcast, a gold awarded journey hosted by Martin Piskarik, connecting with listeners in 95 countries and ranking in the top 0.5% of all podcasts. Join our exclusive community. Elevate your perspective and embark on the path to success.